from NPR Music. It's All Songs Considered, and it's our year in review, 2008.
Words and music you calculated to make you sing along with your stereo on as you stay in your shorts on your lawn.
It's nearly the end of the year, and there's still time for you to vote for your favorite music of 2008. Go to npr.org/allsongs and pick your 10 favorite CDs of the year. You'll have till Sunday, the 14th of December, to do that. And then on the 15th of December, we'll announce your picks. On this edition of All Songs Considered, we'll discuss the year in music, some of the best songs, some of the best new bands, and the most surprising music of 2008. And I'll have that conversation with NPR Song of the Day editor Stephen Thompson, All Songs Considered and Second Stage producer Robin Hilton. They're with me here in Washington, D.C., and in Portland, Oregon, NPR's Monitor Mix blogger Carrie Brownstein. We start the conversation with the big picture. What was unique about 2008? We hope this sparks you to post comments on our webpage, so when we say stuff that makes your pressure rise, go ahead and write so that all can see and respond. You can now be part of the conversation at npr.org/allsongs. And this conversation starts with a quick look back at listener picks for 2007 and Song of the Day editor Stephen Thompson.
Well, you know, we were just glancing, sort of by way of preparation, at what the listeners had picked as the best albums of 2007. And looking it over, you saw big name after big name after big name after big name. And I noticed that in the top 10, there wasn't a single debut. There wasn't a single artist
from 2007.
And looking over, I thought a lot of the kind of big, important records, a lot of the stuff that's turning up on our listener poll, a lot of the stuff that's turning up on our lists, is brand new artists. And kind of smaller sounding, more intimate sounding, more personal sounding records. Like, looking over the way my own top 10 list is taking shape, there aren't a lot of hugely known names the way that there kind of were last year.
But there were a lot of big releases this year, and we'll play a couple for you. Robin Hilton.
Yeah, I think that's actually interesting. Stephen noticed that, and just as you said that, Stephen, I was looking at the list, and I'm not sure there's a debut in the entire top 25 of last year. But I would just say, overall, I felt like it was a very mediocre year this year, very average year. There were some great records out this year, and we're going to listen to some of them. But to me, it wasn't just this explosion of, you know, last year it was one amazing album after the next. And from every band you could ever want an album from released an album last year. And this year it just felt like everyone was taking the year off.
Carrie?
I would call this year the year of the teenage retreat. I think that artists either literally or figuratively were writing from a place of retreat, whether that was retreating back to a nostalgia-based sound, literally retreating into the woods to make records, or just making sort of smaller, more intimate records. And I say the word teenage because I think there was a lot of borrowing from older sounds that, you know, we kind of associate with first time out. And some of these artists were literally making their first records, but even artists that were making, you know, their third or fourth records seemed to be reverting to this kind of youthful, slightly immature sound.
So, Carrie, give me an example of something you're thinking about.
Well, in terms of a literal retreat, and also something that started from a place of intimacy and personal exploration, Bon Iver, Justin Vernon, who retreated, I believe, to the woods of Wisconsin. Correct?
Oh, yes.
I was just pumping my chest. Wisconsin, and all of a sudden, like,
oh, jeez. Like, he's already swooning. Someone's already swooning.
Yelling represent. And
So Justin Vernon retreats to the woods of Wisconsin and makes this beautiful, haunting, and very dark, but with really glimmering moments, this album For Emma Forever Ago, which just from the first moments, the first time you hear his voice, you realize you've entered a whole other realm. And it was probably the album that took me most off guard, and one that I continued to revisit over and over again this year.
Let's listen to some of the record from Bon Iver, and this is the opening track. It's called Flume. it's hard not to play this whole thing. It's hard to know when to stop. I think that every one of us, we were all at South by Southwest last year in February. Right around this time of year, we were all falling in love with this record. It came out as a small release around this time last year, but as a major label on a major release on Jag Jaguar, which is why we're considering it as a 2008 release.
Yeah.
And I think we all fell in love more with Justin Vernon and his band that he put together.
Yeah, I would say I listened to 15% less music than I would have otherwise because of Bon Iver, just because I listened to this record so many times this year. Never stopped listening to it.
It's the only record that I've consistently gone back to week after week after week at all year long. And I was sitting there just listening to Flume, and I just got so blissed out, and I thought, there's so much I could say that I love about this album, and I decided I'd leave the gushing up to Stephen, because Stephen was the earliest adopter in the group of Bon Iver, recognizing how great this record was. And
what do you think, Carrie? You bring up this idea of retreat. Sometimes you can look back culturally and try to figure out what it was that got music to a certain point. Do you think you can at all, any of you, think you can do that about, and we're going to talk about other groups that we feel are probably like this. Fleet Foxes would be another.
Well, I think in previous years, and I think between 2005 and 2007, some of the more interesting records were mirroring the complexity of America, of society, kind of counteracting the Bush administration's oversimplification of the situation. And it was sort of a defiant act against that. Like, no, things are murky, things are complicated. By the time 2008 arrives, most of these records were probably recorded in 2007, I almost feel like there's a sense of giving up on trying to explain to the masses, of trying to be anthemic. And so in some ways I think that, you know, people kind of retreated into their own world. Like, well, and it wasn't necessarily a hopelessness, but I do think that there are issues in these songs that grapple with a little bit of despair and hopelessness. And I think part of that is to turn inward and to write from a more introverted sort of this notion of a private space of, okay, well, the public sphere is very complicated, and maybe I need to be writing and expressing myself from a place that is closer to me. So that's where I would posit it in terms of the big picture.
While we're talking about grand themes, I mean, I would look at it partly as a product of the death of the boombox. You know, a lot of us listen to music much more on headphones. And when you combine that with the fact that, you know, home studios have gotten so much cheaper, it's gotten so much easier to make a great sounding record from your bedroom, I think kind of the combination of music being, you know, this very becoming more of an interior object for the listener. You know, I think when you combine that with the fact that it's so much easier to sit in your bedroom in your apartment in your house and make it, I think you're more likely to get records like some of these that sound very much like what you want to hear in your head when you're ruminating or sulking.
Well, let me play a little contrast. Let's look at some of the bigger records that were out there that came out this year. Most of these, you can bet, were not made in a bedroom. let's pick. I'll just pick randomly. I'll pick. Pick Coldplay. Yeah. No bedroom here, right?
A bedroom in a castle.
You've got your Bic lighter out, Steve. You can put that away. Sounding record.
I was a little late getting to this one when I realized, oh, we have to listen to all this stuff if we're going to talk about it. I guess I better spend some time with it. And I have to admit, I think I just dismissed it completely when it first came out and thought, I'm not even going to bother with it.
I couldn't get through it the first time.
Yeah, and then I put it on and I actually really like it. It won't be on my top 10 or anything, but I'm listening to this right now and I'm thinking, I guess it's a little boring maybe, but it's nice. I like it. I can imagine driving in a convertible down the highway listening to this
listening
song.
Listening to an iPod commercial?
Yeah, exactly. But it's nice, you know, and I love Chris Martin's voice, and yeah, I thought it was really good. I was really surprised. I liked it a lot more than I thought I would.
Yeah, my second listen, I felt the same way. I liked it more. In the contrast, though, between what Carrie was talking about, what you all were talking about, and that personal in the ear thing, and this, I feel like I want the other. I want that personal now.
Yeah, that album to me is so benign. I just can't stand music that just couldn't hurt a fly.
That's a good way of putting it. I said boring, but yeah.
Well, let's pick up something else. I just mentioned South by Southwest will be there again in the coming year. Some amazing stuff.
Coldplay will not be on the bill. We tried.
And we all saw the sort of the debut of this record. This is My Morning Jacket. Steven's making faces and Robin is sort of smiling a bit.
Well, I really like this record a lot. I don't know if it'll be on my top 10 or anything, but I thought this was, when it first came out at the beginning of the year, I thought this is incredible. This is going to be one
actually,
of
it didn't come out till June, but we all got the hearing.
Oh, that's
the
true.
That's okay.
That's true, actually. We did listen to it at South by Southwest, and we heard him do some of the stuff live there, too. It was incredible. It was just incredible. And the live performance, you were there,
yeah,
Stephen, and
it was really
a knockout. It was an absolute knockout of a performance. But
I cannot abide the beginning of this record. Like I was saying to you guys before,
and this is the opening cut.
This is the opening cut, yeah. and the album's Evil Urges. I would say with this record, if you took the first three songs on this record, lopped them off, and tacked them on at the end, I would like this record like way better than I actually do. I never really fully was able to embrace this record.
I'm with you on that. This was a sterile version of what I think their live show delivers, which has a grittiness and an energy that this album never achieved. And in fact, Evil Urges, the name became a little false advertising for me. I wanted something darker and not, and I mean, in terms of the music, and it's just too clean for me, this album. And their albums do tend to be cleaner than their live shows, but this went too far in the way
but
of production.
I thought they challenged themselves. I thought they made a very different record. I thought the record was sort of all over the map, and maybe that was its problem. Maybe that's part of what you're sort of saying, Stephen.
Yeah, I also felt there were parts of it that were very, very like Les Claypool, like wacky jam band stuff that did not do it for me at all. Like the Highly Suspicious, for example, I cannot abide. Mm-hmm.
I feel like the one thing we're all agreeing on is that my personal tastes in music are pretty boring.
right, exactly. It is not.
I like the Coldplay. I like the My Morning Jacket.
You're just agreeable. This is your new agreeable.
Oh, that's right.
Lover
that's right.
Joy,
I'm going to be. I'm going to be embracing joy this coming.
But I like the Evil Urges record. I don't know that it'll be in my top 10. I thought it was it didn't hold together as a beginning to end album. but I loved a lot of the songs on it. What we're going to do, we'll play a couple more of the big releases, and I'd love to go ahead and we'll listen to some of our biggest surprises and some of them. I'm talking here with Stephen Thompson, NPR Music Song of the Day, Robin Hilton from... where are you from anyway, Robin? That middle of the country.
I'm from Kansas.
And Stephen's from Wisconsin, but works here. The three of us sit in a pod all day, and it's really...
We see a lot of each other's foreheads.
Yeah, just over the monitors. You know, I'm...
And Robin produces Second Stage. Carrie Brownstein is in Portland, and she does a blog for NPR called Monitor Mix. Yes.
I was going to say, you know, we're looking at some of these really... obviously big releases that came out this year, and one of the things that they all have in common is that none of them are on our best of the year lists, and they're all from really incredible bands that you would have expected to end up on the best of the year's lists, and they didn't for us. I think that's really interesting, and they are the complete opposite of the trend that both Carrie and Stephen talked about. These are big sounding albums. Right. They're not as intimate, and I really was expecting a lot more from all of these artists, and we're not even going to get to most of the big ones that we've talked about.
Well, let me do this. Let me play some of the Death Cab for Cutie record. I remember sitting around having a conversation about the best of 2007 last year, and one of the things that struck me was when I think about Radiohead that wound up on the list, Wilco, White Stripes, Modest Mouse, Shins, New Pornographers, how wonderful it was to have bands put out their fourth, fifth, sixth albums and be really good. And I'm thinking about this conversation here that we're having now where we're saying, bands putting out their fourth, fifth, and sixth records, not so good.
That does happen. I don't think that's true in this case with the Death Cab album. And I came to it late. That's another one I came to late. And also really, really loved. And really, really loved.
I grew to love this record, too.
Yeah, I actually put this down as my biggest surprise, just because my initial reaction to this record was incredibly lukewarm. I actually talked about it on this show, sort of like... yeah, I don't know about this record. And I put it on again as part of sort of the year-end preparation and just loved it. Just loved every song on it. Thought each song told an interesting story, had something interesting to say, had an interesting sound, was catchy, was charming. I love this record now. It's like Alien, where the little alien like planted itself and all of a sudden in November it went blah!
It's exactly what it's like. One of the things that's great about this band is that they're very inventive, and I feel like they have a very original sound, and they do interesting things, take the music in surprising directions without being, you know, completely nuts. It never spins out of control. It never completely breaks. And maybe that makes it a little too safe. I don't know. But for me, it really works. I think it's beautiful and great song structures.
I love the stories. I think Stephen mentioned that. All the words are just great. You just want to wait to get to the end of the song and find out either what happens or get inside the little worlds they paint.
Yeah, their songs are very smart without being clever or cutesy.
I do think that they come dangerously close to being a little too cutesy sometimes, but they don't. They don't get there.
Let's talk about best new bands, because we're talking about these bands that have done 4 and 5 records, some good, some not. I want to play one that I think we all love, and it's called they're called Fleet Foxes. There are a lot of bands that are doing well that are debut record bands. Fleet Foxes is one of them. There's a poll. You can go vote for your favorite CDs of the year. This is the last week of the poll. The poll ends on the 14th of December. On the 15th, around noon, we'll put the results out. And this is a listener poll. There's about 100 records in the list that you can vote from. All of those came from nominations that our listeners chose over the course of a number of weeks. This is one of my favorite bands of the year, Fleet Foxes.
I was following the eye, 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 was following the pack, all swallowed in their coats, with scarves of red tied round their throats, to keep their little heads from falling in the snow. And I turn round,
I just want to keep listening.
I'm sorry to be a buzzkill. No. Yeah.
We should do a cover of that, the four of us.
Everyone would want to hear that. Bob, this was your pick for Best New Band of 2008.
Gosh, do I love this group. Mm-hmm. And their EP, the Sun Giant EP, which came out shortly before, it's just magnificent as well. And, you know, I was listening to, and we played this Neil Young record that came out recently. It's called Sugar Mountain. It's a concert from 40 years ago. And I listened to some of the songs on that record, which all make me want to cry because they're so beautiful. And this record touches the same place in me that those Neil Young songs touch. They're great songwriters. They're a good band getting better.
Incredible voices.
Yeah, great harmonies. We were talking before the show how this was a year, at least for me, of songs, where I liked a lot of songs more than I liked a lot of albums. And the Fleet Foxes is a perfect example of that for me. That song, that's White Winter Hymnal, right? That song, that is impossible to not just love that song. What an incredible song. And then the rest of the album for me was just okay. It was nice, but it didn't knock me out like that song.
I'm going to trap you so you can't leave your desk, and I'm going to leave the whole album just loop and loop and loop. So.
I know. I had the opposite experience with this album. I would say this is the exception to that for me. This was the only album I listened to in its entirety over and over and over again. And sometimes I would stay on a song for 3 or 4 times, but then I would let the rest of the album reveal itself, and I was never disappointed. I loved this album.
Carrie, didn't you in a blog post, weren't you talking about the year of beards? That it was just it was a very beardy 2008.
Yes, all these Fleet Foxes, they're at the forefront
of
that.
Yeah, leading
of the beard
the
rock movement.
The torchbearers. Into the forest, come with me.
So many
well,
beards.
I saw them here in Portland, and there was a lot of bearded people in the audience that I think felt really validated by the Fleet Foxes. And I don't think we can underestimate the importance of people with beards feeling accepted finally.
None of us in the room here have a beard.
No, I tried. It was a disaster.
Yes,
but we love that.
Grows in splotchy patches.
Yeah,
all over.
I have these bald spots all over my face. So sad.
Oh,
I can never be an indie rocker.
Stephen, if you can't be an indie rocker, why don't you tell us what your best new band is?
Best new band? Well, you know, I mean, we've talked so much about Bon Iver and Fleet Foxes, and I'm definitely I like the Fleet Foxes record a lot. That one I'm finding is still growing on me. Bon Iver is my favorite album in years and years. So that's obviously the choice. But since we've talked about it so much, I actually want to pick another band from the Pacific Northwest, and I cannot remember if they have beards. But a band that I think a lot of people are going to be talking about as it slowly creeps into the public consciousness is a group called Blind Pilot. I believe it's a duo. The Blind Pilot record is called Three Rounds and a Sound, and I randomly came across it when one of my writers picked it for Song of the Day. It's been on Second Stage, which Robin curates, and I love that record from start to finish. I like every song on it. It's one of the most consistently appealing records. It's not necessarily going to blow anyone away. I just respond extraordinarily well to the voices. It just kind of fits. It fits kind of into that same sound that we've been talking about. A lot of rich harmonies, just very catchy, very sound songwriting. I love that record. Why don't we play One Red Thread?
I tried to find a picture of Blind Pilot, of which I found a picture.
Do they have beards?
And there are two of them. One of them had a beard, and the other one had and he was holding a guitar and covered the exact place in the face that the other one might have had a beard. So
I think you can imagine that there's a
beard
heavy.
There.
Kind of fits a little bit into that, like, Avett Brothers.
I thought of the Avett Brothers moment.
Yeah, which is a band I love and can't wait to hear their record.
One thing Stephen and I were talking about the other day, Stephen, you were mentioning how this was a year where it was back to basic songwriting, you know, less innovation this year, and a lot of, and that, I think you really hear that in this album. It's just simple guitar, a couple guys singing, making great songs, writing great songs.
It comes down, yeah, that's exactly what it comes down to.
So Carrie picks Bon Iver, I pick Fleet Foxes, Blind Pilot for Stephen Robin Hilton.
The only one that really matters.
Best new band?
I'm actually really excited to talk about this guy because this album to me just blew me away this year. It's by a band called Sun Lux, and it's actually just one guy. His name's Ryan Lott, and I think he's from New York. Like me, his parents made him take piano lessons when he was 6 years old, and like me, he hated it and begged to quit. Unlike me, he went on to be an incredibly gifted musician.
And he spends a lot less time crying in
right,
his apartment.
Right, yes, exactly, by himself. And he put out just an astonishing record this year called At War with Walls, At War with Walls and Mazes. And I just think this is a flawless record. It's... out of this year, there may be two or three or four records that I know I'll still be listening to years from now, and this is one of them. Hey. I'll just say real quickly about him that he actually has his day job is writing music for television and radio commercials, and he does cranks out two songs a day, and you would never think that listening that he does music like that when you listen to this album. But the thing that's really great about this record is that it has this incredible range of energy and emotion, where the songs have this great narrative arc where they start off maybe very quiet and intimate and solitary, and then they just kick you in the stomach, and they just erupt. I feel like sometimes when I'm listening to this album, like it's grabbed me by the collar and thrown me to the ground, and then apologized and said, everything's going to be okay. Let's keep listening to the record. So the song I want to cue up, and I want to listen to the beginning and then fast forward a little bit, from At War with Walls and Mazes. This song is called Raise. Let's start at the beginning.
Great. Now I'm going to leave the mics open. How's that dog doing?
The dog just took off. I'm a little worried about your codependent and slightly abusive relationship with this band, Robin. So.
I thought you were saying...
I love this band.
Robin, I thought you were going to say that the record demands an apology. It takes you by the collar and demands an apology.
That too.
What I remember of this record is that every song really switches up.
So. Oh yeah, it's just stick with it. Lyrically, there's not a lot going on in this whole album. He'll just pick a simple line and repeat it. But the music goes through these incredible transitions. Let's go ahead and skip ahead to 315, to the 315 mark.
Will for myself, you are who you say you are.
It's a different universe than it was at 3 minutes and 15 seconds
yeah,
ago.
Yeah, I think it's incredible. And he considers him... we corresponded briefly, me sending my love letters.
Of course.
I know that we could be best friends. Ryan, if you would just give me a chance.
You sent him a bottle of your own tears.
Right. I don't know what I would call this music. Maybe a little bit of trip-hop or something. He said he considers himself a hip-hop producer. And much of this album was pieced together over the course of 4 years from 2004 to 2008 with just little snippets of recordings that he had collected. And if you listen to that section we were just hearing, there's lots of stuff you can just faintly hear in the background going on, and I think those are a lot of the samples that he uses.
Well, it's kind of interesting because it sort of fits into the interior thing while at the same time being really expansive. That's
yeah, I can't believe I did confirm with him that yeah, he does all this himself. Produced it, mixed it, recorded it, sang it, played all the instruments, everything at home.
That's really cool.
Yeah,
Sunlux. It's S-O-N.
Right.
L-U-X. At War with Walls and Mazes. I'm here talking with Stephen Thompson, Robin Hilton, and Carrie Brownstein. Let's talk about biggest surprises of the year. Carrie Brownstein, what knocked you out this year that you just didn't expect?
I wouldn't say that this next artist knocked me out. I kept reading about her. She goes by the name Santa Gold. And I completely wrote her off before I even heard a single note. And she just seemed part of something that I wasn't going to like, meaning that she was going to borrow from people in an obvious way and then get a lot of credit for it, and that it would just come across as kind of soulless. And I finally heard one of her songs on our sort of alternative station in Portland. I kept thinking it was Tegan and Sarah. Like every time I would hear her song, I would think, oh, there's some Tegan and Sarah song they're playing. And finally, I just thought, I need to check this person out. She kept opening up for interesting bands. And what surprised me about the songs I was attracted to on her album was that they did borrow from kind of familiar bands. They reminded me a little bit of La Tigra. They had kind of this pop sound, but I found them infectious and I just couldn't help but continue to listen to them. And they were so different from the really dark, emo boy music that I had fallen in love with this year, that I think it just came as a relief. And this was literally like a month ago. It was just like a breath of fresh air. Like, oh, I don't have to feel despair. I don't have to lie in bed with my Bon Iver album and hug my pillow anymore. I can just listen to Santigold and everything feels better. So this very catchy tune is called Lights Out. It's from her self-titled album. Catchy.
I like that a lot. Yeah, I haven't really spent any time with this album. I like that a lot.
Yeah, there's a couple great songs on it, and it really did prove to be kind of an antidote to... I mean, and I loved all of the intense and dark and intimate music that I had been embracing for most of 2008. That's why it came as a surprise that I was able to kind of fall in love with that song and a couple of the songs on our album so late in the game. It was just like a bright light shining on an otherwise pretty murky year of music. Murky in a good way, but...
I found this record came out by a group that's a really old favorite band of mine. They're a group called Sparks. More and more, I kept hearing bands that reminded me of Sparks, and then there it was. I did a blog post about the fact that there are a bunch of bands that reminded me of Sparks, and somebody said, haven't you heard their new record? And I went and couldn't believe that they've just released their 22nd album, right?
So they've been around, they've been doing this 40 years, 35? Well,
the first Sparks album that I can remember came out about 1971, Woofer and Tweeters
Almost
Clothing.
Almost 40 years.
I just read that Nico Case is going to cover a Sparks song on her next record, Never Turn Your Back on Mother Earth, which is an incredible song.
Got to say that most people don't know who this band
is. So they're two brothers, Ron and Russell Mayle. The California guys, they had sort of gotten caught up a bit in the glam rock period of rock around Roxy Music time and that sort of stuff. They got Giorgio Moroder, then took them on. They did sort of this very kind of disco-y sound in the 70s, and then they just kept making really original records. What's great about them, and you'll hear that in just a minute, are their words for me. I mean, their vocals are a little hard for people because they're kind of always falsetto, but the words are hilarious always. And the song's called "Let the Monkey Drive," and you can't go wrong with a monkey, right? So
yeah,
duh.
Sure.
Hang on a minute. Oops.
Oh, cool. Because the thing about Ryan Lott.
Hang on.
Driving north on Highway 1 toward Santa Barbara, lots of sun, Pacific Ocean on the left-hand side. The Santa Barbara's on her mind, her love can't wait till after nine, so she says, can't we let the monkey drive? Let the monkey drive, we can have our fun, as we're hopping back out of Highway 1. Let him take the wheel, in the setting sun. And switch some
coffee from Starbucks, and in the backseat everything is fine. He never prys in our affairs, he never listens, never stares, and we three are enjoying our long ride. Let the monkey drive, we can have our fun as we hop in back out on Highway 1. Let him take the wheel.
The story continues, but you gotta hear the record.
This actually reminds me of this band called Bon Iver. It's this guy went into a cabin
with a monkey.
Bob, the fact that you love this makes me love you more. It's just, we're very different people. And no, I was just thinking, you know, I would never put this on and listen to this, but it's so much fun, and I love that these guys can have this much fun after doing this for almost 40
that
years.
Long,
I mean, that's really great.
Too.
I feel like Bob listens to this so I don't have to.
Exotic Creatures of the Deep, Sparks is the band. Biggest surprise, let's see, Robin Hilton?
My biggest surprise was the Mates of State album, Rearrange Us. And I think it was such a surprise to me because this is a band I have never really taken very seriously. They've almost been a bit of a novelty act to me. It's a husband-wife duo, Corey Gardner and Jason Hamill. She plays keys and he plays drums and they both sing. And their past albums, and they've done almost a half a dozen of them, I really felt like, I don't know, like they were almost shouting at me when they sang, and it was so quirky that it was kind of goofy, and I really just couldn't get in it. And this album, from the opening track, I thought, wow, it's like they've all grown up or something. There's a real sophistication to the songwriting on this album. They pull back on the vocals a little bit. They add some extra texture, some nice subtle string parts, and I just think it's a wonderful album. It'll be in my top 10 for sure, and I know that, Stephen, this was one of your picks for Song of the Year.
I absolutely love this record. Carrie was talking before about Sandalgold being an antidote. This record was such an antidote record for me. I think part of it for me is that I have a 7-year-old and a 4-year-old, and they do not stop listening to this record. They love it so much. I think it's the year's, in a strange way, I think it's the year's most romantic record. It's this sort of song cycle about maintaining a loving relationship and kind of growing up as a couple with kids. And the song that we're about to play, I don't know if we'll get to that point in the song, but it hits this chorus of love loud, don't lose loud. And I just love that. I was not a huge fan of this band before. I'd always thought that, like, oh, they're kind of this nice, cute, little quirky band. I think this record's incredibly rich and beautiful and fun.
Yeah, very joyous. Very joyous.
And I
always feel good when I listen
to songs on this record, but I found myself overdosed on sugar by the fourth song or so. And if I took them song by song for almost all of them, there's a couple there that if I played would actually drive me nuts.
Well, let's talk about how great it is first, and listen to this song, because it's great.
Let's play the song. Which one? Get Better?
The Rearranger.
Okay.
Seriously, Bob.
God.
Seriously.
That is just, I just pictured all of us skipping down the street throwing flowers around. I mean, it is just my, puts the biggest smile on my face.
My kids had a Mates of State dance off the other night. That's cannot hate a record that my kids had a dance off to.
What is it, Bob? Is it just...
I've heard too many records like this. Way too many records. Like, look, the middle 70s were filled with these records.
Please give me those records.
Okay.
I'm with Bob. I'm with Bob on this one. Let's go back and listen to Let the Monkey Drive.
Wait. How did the two of you go through the conversation being so wrong?
Here, this is what I rate my songs. This one got 1 star when I look at my ratings.
You don't like now?
Okay. Here it comes.
There's no
I was polyurethaning my floor, and I hurtled myself toward my stereo to go, what the is this?
I know. I feel like I'm being pelted by candy right now.
Pass the insulin.
I would have said the exact same thing and meant it in a good way.
Okay.
We can move on, but what did you give Get Better? The first track. How many stars did you give that, or did it ever come up? That
Get Better was a 3-star song.
It's a 5-star song.
So,
I love how diverse this group is. It's so different.
Carrie, you got something that might work to counter the sugar of Mates of State?
I hope so. This is a song by Chad Von Gallen called Inside the Molecules. And Chad Von Gallen is a musician. I believe he started out as a street busker in Calgary, and he's a visual artist. And this album Soft Airplane came out on Sub Pop, and I had never heard anything by him. I was actually kind of intrigued by the album cover. It's very visually pleasing, and I put on the album, and there's definitely a couple songs that just really stood out for me. I don't know what happened to me this year, but I really just embraced the beard rock, the kind of sensitive boy rock. I'm worried that you guys are rubbing off on me in a horrible way.
None of us have beards.
Yeah, Chad Van Gallen doesn't have a beard.
He doesn't have a beard, but he is a sensitive boy.
He's definitely a bedroom sensitivo.
Whoa. Yes. Did you put that on your personal ad? So this song, it has a little bit of a Neil Young sound to it, and it's really simple, but I just think he has a great voice, and he's just a solid songwriter. And this, like I said earlier, is called Inside the Molecules.
Great. Record's called Soft Airplane.
Is that yes.
What? Chad Van Gallen. It's G-A-A-L-E.
Gallen.
Gallen? Gallen?
Well, we don't
G-A-A-L-E-N.
Know.
Chad, would you give us a call? All songs at npr.org. You can write to us, and we'll get your name right. But we like your music.
I like him a lot. It's a really,
yeah, I really
that's
like
a really
that.
Good pick.
So I don't know how you guys go about making your top 10 records, but I know that I've been doing the silly thing where I rate things, and one of the records hear something randomly. Oh no, and it's wonderful. I hear things, and then randomly I'll say, oh, and then I'll go to my iPod and I'll star rate it. And one of the records that keeps falling on and off my top 10 is the record by TV on the Radio. But without question, when I look at the 5-star songs of the year for me, TV on the Radio, the song Halfway Home, the opening cut is so absolute killer. I just love this song. So let me play the TV on the Radio song next. It's a whole nother song is about to start.
You always leave your picks on longer than all the rest of us, Bob.
Cut off one pilot way too soon.
It's only because the second part of the great part of the song comes 2 minutes into the song. There's so much just keeps unfolding in that song for me.
It's an astonishing song, and on an otherwise, I thought the album was just kind of okay. But it's another example of one of the bands that put out a record where I thought it was a song, not an album for me. And this was the standout track on this record.
Really? There's another track on this record I really love.
Yeah. I'm in love with a bunch of them as well. Good band.
Really great band.
Yeah.
Great band. Well, we agree.
Uh-oh.
So good right now.
Thank you, everybody.
Should we hug it out and call it a show?
Hug it out, call it a show.
Plants and Animals, Robin Hilton.
This is by a band called Sunlux.
Ryan, are you listening?
This is by a band called Plants and Animals. They're a trio, I think, right? They're a trio from Canada. They're from Montreal. And this is a song called Bye Bye Bye. I was listening to it the other day, and you could tell what I was listening to if you saw my iChat status, and someone pinged me and said, "Are you listening to NSYNC?" And I had to assure them that no, I was not. This is Plants and Animals, and I'm glad we're doing songs and that we're having the discussion about songs, because this is probably my favorite song of the entire year, and I wanted to like the rest of the album as much as this, and I really didn't. I think they're a very talented group of guys, and they'll probably do great things later on, but this song in particular, though, Bye Bye Bye, from their album Park Avenue, is just amazing.
And this song reminded me of Queen, and then there are other parts that reminded me of some great African music band.
Yeah, so it's also very bluesy. This song is not bluesy. You listen to the song, and you think, wow, this is Queen. And the rest of the album is very sort of bluesy rock. It's, yeah, more straightforward.
What's gonna happen to you? You have woke up too soon and found the world you're in. And now your feelings have changed. Say goodbye to before. Just smile.
auto harp. You put auto harp in a rock band. Oh, here it. You get the idea.
They came to our studios. We have a video that, oh, I am so sorry, guys. This is. We all have albatrosses. We edited this video by Plants and Animals. We've yet to finish it because we did a chroma key background with these guys, and we can't figure out what to put in the background. So we apologize.
One Plants day we're gonna, and animals.
We thought of that, but we thought it might come off too hippie, and they wouldn't approve of that. So we'll get it, and we'll get it right. But we did love it, and they did bring their auto harp, and they were a really talented bunch of musicians.
Yeah, I really do think we're going to hear a lot more from them in the future. I think I was listening to this song. It's the opening track to the album, and I think maybe what happened with this record is you start off with something like that. You're setting the bar really, really high, and it was really hard for the rest of the album to live up to it.
They should have released it as a single.
That's not funny, Carrie.
But then the rest of the album would have not had that song on it.
And that's right. And it could have been one of those singles where it plays the same track on both sides.
So I'm here with Carrie Brownstein, Stephen Thompson, Robin Hilton. We're talking about music. A year in review, 2008. Next week is the revealing of the poll that NPR listeners will vote for and choose what the best records are. We'll put that poll and the results of that poll up online on the 15th. And right now we're just talking about best songs because we seem to be coming to this thing where we love albums, and we've loved a lot of albums, and many of them are new debut albums, as we've pointed out at the top of the show. But found a great love for songs, and so one of the ones for me that I fell in love with, and I've yet to see this band. They're a band called Blitz and Trapper. You know much about this band, Carrie? I think you're the one who first mentioned them.
Yeah, I actually learned about them from you too, Carrie.
Yeah, I think I mentioned them on last year's year end show as what I was excited about for next year potentially, or this year. I love this band. I'm actually going to see them tonight. They're returning to Portland after a triumphant tour of the U.S. What I like about this band, in contrast to some of the other bands that I love, is they have an energy to them. And I think that a lot of energy is what was lacking in some of the other my other favorites, and this band makes me really excited. They have really interesting guitar parts. You're going to play a slower song, but a lot of their faster stuff borders on a little psychedelia, gets a little out there. They rein it back in, and it just is forward moving, like exciting rock music.
Well, we can play that. What do you want?
Oh,
to
you kind of
no play first.
You gotta play the title.
You guys have to play the emo one. But this is a beautiful. This is a beautiful song. But that first song on the album is great too.
Yeah, when I was only 17, I could hear the angels whispering. So I drove into the woods and wandered aimlessly about until I heard my mother shouting through the fog. It turned out to be the howling of a dog, or a wolf to be exact. The sound sent shivers down my back, but I was drawn into the pack, and before long they allowed me to join in and sing their song. So from the cliffs and higher still, yeah, we would gladly get our fill, howling endlessly and shrilly at the dawn. And I lost the taste for judging right from wrong, for my flesh had turned to fur, yeah, and my thoughts they surely were turned to instinct and obedience to God. You can wear your fur like a river on fire, but you better be sure if you're making God a liar. I'm a rattlesnake, babe, I'm like fuel on fire. So if you're gonna get made, don't be afraid of what you learn.
Carrie, you could hear some, I was noticing they had the crunchier guitars in the left side of that, and it's those textures that separate it from everything else. I think it's those little details like that.
He sent me a message the other day. We were speaking of Queen just now.
Well, I was thinking that if you wanted to do a connection, the Bye 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 from Plants and Animals sounds like Queen.
Which is this song, right?
And this sounds like Queen to me. This is Queen.
Which is spicy.
Get a set, yeah, to this part. And it's the bass drum part coming up here.
In the year of 39, assembled here the volunteers. In the days when
wow, who needs iTunes Genius when you have Robin Hilton?
I just said this. I just kept listening to the song. It's like, I love this song, and it reminds me of something. And then it came to me because Queen's. The song's called 39. I think it's from Night at the Opera. Is that Night at the Opera?
39 is from Night at the Opera.
Yeah, I mean, they obviously have their own, style and everything, but it's very similar. Yeah.
I want to remind people about a couple of things. One is we have good blogs at NPR and finding more and more great music fans making some actually fascinating, deep comments on the site, and funny stuff as well. And so whenever we put up a show, for example, on All Songs Considered or on Song of the Day, you can go and then comment on the songs and begin to build the community that's building. And of course, Carrie's blog has been just the leader in all this, just a great following. I've said this before, I love your writing. And it's just terrific, and I think you've got a really good following of people who react to what you write. And for this story as well, as we wrap up the year in review, there'll be a place on the page that brought you here, or if you on a podcast, go to npr.org/allsongs, and you'll find a place where you can write your comments and read what others have to say, and chime in. Because, you know, I think the best part about the year in review stuff, the year end stuff, is not so much what Stephen thinks.
Right? Oh, God, no.
or any of us.
Well.
But it's
bad example.
It sparks us all. I knew I'd get a rise. It sparks us all to think about the ones in the music that we missed and that we didn't catch. So that's what this is all about. So we want you to go to the website and tell us the stuff that we missed and tell us. I'm sure you will.
There's plenty of it.
Yes, indeed.
Plenty of it.
Right. Stephen Thompson, you want to actually, we did make a state. So, Carrie Brownstein, you have a song. Let's get right
we're
over,
going,
Stephen.
We're going to, we're
cut,
going out
that's
on
mic three.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah. I'll cut mic three off. Carrie Brownstein, do you have a song, best song of the year that you'd like to play for us?
I'll be brief here. This band, every once in a while, there's just a band that reminds me that I allow a little nostalgia to creep in, and this band reminds me of a lot of the great Northwest rock bands of yore. And it's, I talked about Teenage earlier, this is a real kind of teenage song. It's by a band called Lady Hawk from Vancouver, BC, and it's called STHD.
Yeah.
talk about an anecdote to everything else we've been listening to.
That's Lady Hawk. Ugliest record cover, though.
Yes.
Absolute. Thank you. Especially the back.
The back
cover's got they're all kind of spitting kind of a colored liquid.
They're all shirtless and spitting liquid on each other.
Yeah. It has a drawing on the front.
Yeah, right? The drawing is ugly.
Really? I thought the drawing was all right.
But the back is just tasteless.
just avoid. Just don't look.
Just
look away, Bob.
Go to iTunes or whatever and download it. Don't look at the little picture of the artwork. Hey, Carrie, do you remember a band called Silkworm?
They love Silkworm. I interviewed Lady Hawk for my blog, and they are obsessed with Silkworm.
They really remind me of Silkworm.
Mm-hmm. They really do. They adore that band.
God, I am so smart.
You are. God. Let's just end it on that. Stephen, you're so smart.
Stephen, you're all you have.
Another band on Jag Jaguar, that label.
That really is a great label. It really is. I don't normally shop by label, but that is the label I could shop by.
I agree.
There's this a band this summer. We put out a best of the year so far, and we asked people to say what their best of the bands are so far. And one of the ones that rose to the top that I just didn't hear this record at all, didn't cross our desk, is MGMT or Management. It's a great record. This is one of those bands that reminded me of Sparks. And yet, Robin Hilton loves this record.
I do. Well, I wanted to ask you because you came in the other day with this and you held up the record and you said, I know you would hate this. And I said, yeah. I love this record.
Well,
I love
you hate this Sparks.
I don't hear it at all.
Wow.
No,
okay.
I don't hear it at all. I thought you were going to say I'd hate it because it's synth pop or something.
No.
I love this.
You love synth pop.
Yeah, you actually love synth pop.
I love this record, and I love this song in particular. I know it's the hit that's getting played. What did you say about Bon Iver? It's like getting punched in the heart, but in a good way,
yeah.
Stephen? Yeah, that's how I feel about this song. That the song is called Time to Pretend. It's the opening track to their album, Oracular Spectacular. This song, well, first of all, it's just absurdly catchy. It is just incredibly catchy song. And
Sparks.
And as any catchy song, you know, usually if a song is catchy, it's usually you think of really a beat up tempo, feel good sort of song. And there's something in the lyrics to this song that make me feel so hopeful, but then so utterly depressing. And I thought, well, you know what? It's exactly what life is.
I was going to say it's like Robin Hilton in song form is what you're describing.
It's beautiful and hopeful and glorious and also crude and horrible and depressing and painful. And
in 3 minutes.
And so conflicted. But let's just listen to it instead of hearing me bloviating about it.
Let the monkeys drive.
Actually printed out the lyrics because the song just slays me.
You're not big on lyrics.
I'm not, and actually I was thinking that you're right. You know, we've talked about how lyrics are usually the first thing that you pick up on in a song, and if the lyrics aren't solid, then you're gone. And I usually don't. I usually listen to it a long time before I start paying any attention to the lyrics. I'm paying attention to melody and form and all that. But this song from the
there's so much going on.
Yeah, it's, you know, it's about youth and growing up, and, you know, and all of us, when you're young, you just feel like you're going to conquer the world and let's go out and do it, you know. And then at the end of the song, they're, you know, they're dead. They're all dead, buddy. But you know, it's overwhelming, but what else can we do? Get jobs in offices and wake up for the morning commute. I just feel like...
Are you reading that off the lyrics you printed out and put next to your desk?
Yeah, next to my photo of Ryan Lott from Sun Lux.
You know, I like that band. I like Management and that song a lot, too. And what's interesting is this band, compared to any other band we've talked about today, has something, and I don't mean it in a disparaging way, but they have coolness. They're cool compared to these other bands, and they have a sound that's a lot cooler.
Yeah, it's two guys from Brooklyn, and
exactly.
Yeah,
enough said.
Yeah, and my hometown. I don't have their names. So I guess it does. But it's these two guys from Brooklyn, and I actually thought it was a woman singing on that song, and I dropped the Management an email about it. Said, "Who is that singing?" And I said, "That's them."
My only complaint about this record was the production, which at times is absolutely incredible. All the stuff that's going on, yeah. I love that. I never liked that bashing drum.
It's fat.
Which it's not fat. No, it's totally
fat.
Distorted.
PHAT.
No, yeah. it's so drum distortion. I can't take. I don't know what it is.
I love that record.
Yeah, I actually get choked up listening to that song.
Yeah, that record for me. You were talking about this, or somebody was talking about this with the TV on the Radio record. That's a record where it cannot possibly top that song. It's the first song on the record, and for me, I kind of drift off after it. I need to just go back and listen to that song again.
Yeah.
And speaking of Brooklyn, Vampire Weekend is a band we've yet touched. We've been doing the show now for an hour plus, and I thought it was a terrific record. Did nobody else?
The problem for this band is just that the hype burned so hot right at the beginning of the year, before the record even came out.
It was the EP.
Yeah, well, I mean, before a full-length album came out, it was fashionable to be sick of this band. The album came out on January 29th, and on, like, January 28th, it was like, there was like a backlash to the backlash to the backlash before the record even came out. I think it's a good record. I don't love this record. It doesn't, you know, hit me in just the right place. But every time it's on, I enjoy it. I think it's a really good record.
I think it's a really fresh sounding record.
Carrie, what do you think of this record?
This record is okay for me. It just doesn't have teeth, and I think so many things came out this year that just took a much stronger hold on me and really grabbed me. And this album just kind of came and went for me. And to say something's enjoyable is, to me, not necessarily doesn't mean it's going to last. So I'm curious what this band's going to do next. This is a band for me that kind of has to prove it a little bit, and that's unfair. But they have to do something to me that's a little different. I hope they're not a one-trick pony.
Yeah, I think you put that really well. That I kind of felt like, well, this is very nice. This is nice. I want to see what
it's a state nice.
No, Mesa State is soaringly beautiful and joyous.
Oh wait, never mind. I love Vampire Weekend.
The Vampire Weekend was very nice, and I think, Carrie, you hit it on the nail on the head. It doesn't have any teeth. It didn't for me anyway.
Boy, I really disagree. Let's go out on a little bit of Vampire Weekend, like maybe. Too jolly.
It's nice.
It's a great song. I don't have a bad thing to say about it.
Well, thank you all. Carrie Brownstein in Portland. We'll see you at South by Southwest, and we'll talk sooner than that.
Looking forward to it. Thank you.
The blog is called Monitor Mix, Stephen Thompson's Song of the Day. I'll see you in 4 minutes as we go upstairs in the elevator. And Robin Hilton.
thank you, Bob.
Great Robin, good luck with Sun Lux.
Thanks, man. Fingers crossed.
Robin Hilton is a producer of this show and NPR Second Stage, a show of great unknowns. Carrie Brownstein is a creator and writer of the NPR blog Monitor Mix. Stephen Thompson is a press agent for Mates of State, and he's the editor of NPR's Song of the Day. I'm Bob Boylan. Don't forget to vote for your favorite music of 2008. Go to npr.org/allsong. Hey, 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 hey.
Voting ends on Sunday, the 14th of December, with results posted around noon on Monday, the 15th. And you can add your comments about things we talked about or didn't talk about on this show. Go to npr.org/allsongs for NPR Music. It's All Songs Considered.